day. And yet I'm thankful that we serve a God that is able to speak a word of healing to each and every one of them. We still serve a mighty God. Amen. But in the book of John, in the 9th chapter, is where I'll be reading from today. And I believe that we've never touched on this subject matter before. So I need your prayers this morning, like I always do. But we're oftentimes when we read the Word of God, read the part that really blesses us, and we get the point, but we never finish the rest of the story. There's times that we need to go a little deeper into God's Word that we might understand the fullness that He has in store for you and I today. So in the book of John, in the 9th chapter, many of you will remember that this is the man that Jesus passed by in verse 1. Jesus passed by and saw that this man was blind from birth. And the Lord made spittle and put it upon his eyes, and his eyes were open. And you will recall that after his eyes were open, some of the neighbors said, "It looks like him, but we're not sure." Others said, "Is this not the one who sat and begged for alms?" Because of his blindness, he had no way of providing for himself. And he came out and said, "It is I. I'm the one that was blind. The Lord touched my eyes, and they were made to be open, and I now can see." And the story goes on that the church, the Pharisees, came against him and said, "Give God the glory. This man be a sinner." And this is one of the verses that you'll remember from the 9th chapter, where that young man said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this I know, I was once blind, but now I see." Amen. We'll pick up the story there and go to verse 34. After they heard him testify, in verse 33, he said, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Because of his testimony of what Jesus had done for him, they cast him out of the city. And then in verse 35, he said, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he saith unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And stop reading there at verse 38 this morning. And our text today is entitled, "Do you believe in your miracle maker? Do you believe in your miracle maker?" You see that this man that Jesus had touched, his eyes and opened them that he could see, he was not a believer when he received that miracle on his life. He did not believe upon Jesus. Maybe he had never even heard of him. We have no story backdrop to how or what he believed at that time, but I believe he answered the question when he said, "Who is he that I might believe on him?" See, a lot of folks today are receiving miracles in their lives, but they don't know the miracle maker. They don't know the miracle maker. We ought to rejoice as a church today, because not only do we receive the miracles, but we know the miracle maker in our lives. And he is still performing miracles. As we gathered here, no telling how many miracles have been touched or made to happen on this Sunday morning. I shared with you earlier that on my way to church this morning, there were 10 accidents on the highways. And each of those, I looked to see if the person was able to get out. There was a couple of them that the vehicle had actually rolled. But not in one did I see that they was not able to walk away. May have been, but I didn't see any that was not able to walk away from that accident. And I said to myself, there's another miracle that God has made. God has blessed another potentially non-believer with a miracle in their life. How many of us know that God blessed us with miracles before we was believers? I want you to go back in your life and just review, Brother Ray. Before you really believed upon God, how many miracles did God do in your life and mine? The many times that He watched over us and protected us and kept us out of harm's way. And we're able to stand up today and say, look what God has done for me because of prayers of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. And folks might say, well, they're already dead and gone. How can their prayers be still working today? And Brother Eli, the Bible says that God bottles up the prayers of His saints. We may not see the answer today, but church, pray on. Because God will still perform those miracles that He has listed in His Word and in our lives today. I'd like for you to reflect back on your life and think or name, if it's even possible, the many miracles that God has done in your life. He done several today, Brother Emerson. He woke us all up this morning. Hallelujah. Gave us health and strength. And even though I mentioned all those accidents on the road when I was traveling here, I was not in one of them. Even though one was just a few minutes or moments ahead of me. I stand up today and say, we are still receiving miracles day after day, hour after hour. And I thank God for it this morning. Don't you? Think of all the miracles that He's done in your life. How many of you know that you've been healed? Maybe even more than once. That the doctors would say there's no hope, as this young lady testified for her husband and as Tara testified for that little child and also that father. And as we heard Sister Kathy and worried about her son and all the things that's going on there. Folks, God can perform miracles even while we are here. To those that are non-believers as well as those that are believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For AC's daddy, God can perform the miracle that he stands in need of. Sister Kathy also requested prayer about a job, and that's what God laid on our hearts too, that God can open doors that the devil has shut in our life. He's a way maker. He is one that can help us to provide for our families and our homes. That He can perform that miracle of opening up somebody's mind. You see, sometimes we talk till we're blue in face and don't accomplish anything. But God is able just to speak a word and change the outlook for you and I. The miracle that God has performed not just for us, but how many of you know that He's performed miracles for your children as well? Some of you as mom and dads. And I go back and reflect on Tara and Jeff when little Trenton passed. That they thought their world, and certainly it had been so torn up. Or with your child, Becky, and with our child, Stephanie, that... And maybe others that lost children that, and we thought that there would never be a day that peace would come in our lives again. But you know what God did? He performed the miracle that we stood in need of. He helped us with our minds and with our hearts. He eased that burden, that grief that we had. And yes, we still shed tears of sorrow when we recall those events. But I thank God this morning that I believe on the miracle worker, and I know that everything the devil sends to do evil, God can turn it out for good if we'll just believe and lift up His name and say, despite what the devil has done, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with God. And I'm going to praise Him because I know I will need another miracle in my life. Maybe this afternoon that I'll need one. And God, I trust Him with all my being, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I trust God has got the best for me in store. Don't you believe that this morning? The Bible also teaches us when we look at the miracles that God has done, and sometimes even unbeknownst to us. How many of you, like me, have been in a near accident many times in my life? But God made a way. Times when Becky and I was expecting our firstborn, and we was hit broadside on her side of the car. But we walked away from it. No harm. No physical harm. The car was hurt, but we were not hurt. How many of you have stories like that, that you knew it was God? They say, it's just by chance. I don't believe in chance. I believe in God today. And no matter what others, as this young man, they try to make it many different excuses or reasons why it wasn't Jesus that healed him. You can say what you want. But as for me and my house, I'm going to give God the glory and say, it bound to be the Lord that moved in my stead. Protection for us. The miracle that He gives to us. And the miracle of our homes that we have. For mom and dad that raised us the way they did. And even though at times, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning that we thought they didn't love us because they wouldn't let us go with the crowd. They wouldn't let us out like others did in the neighborhood. But looking back, I thank God because they kept us out of a lot of trouble. Miracles that we didn't even know about that watched over us and kept us there. And mom and dad, because they brought us up in a church that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we heard the word even though we may not have paid attention. But one day a message went out that sank way down in our hearts. God got our attention, and the miracles that we heard of in the Bible that we may have questioned or doubted, we stepped out and received the greatest miracle of all, and that is salvation of our soul and our life today. And people say, "You, it's just something that you got in your head that changed." No, I got it in my heart today. And when it got in my heart, it changed my mind, my thoughts, and everything else in my future. When we look at this man and all that happens, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll take our miracles for granted. Did you know God don't owe us anything? But we owe God everything. We'll take it for granted. I don't want to take God for granted, Sister Lee. I want Him to know I appreciate every miracle that He performs in my life. Even while we're here, the devil may be moving in your body to start an uprising of cancer. And you say, is that even possible? Sure. But I thank God, and I'm going to trust in God. When the devil comes against me, I've got a great band of angels that's watching over me to prevent his doings from taking place in my life to destroy us. Some believe miracles are just by chance. As I said earlier, some believe it's just luck. That you're healthy and you have the things that you have because of luck today. But I say, or some might even say, that it's because you was at the right place or the right time. I say today, by the authority of God's word, nothing happens by chance or circumstance. It is by God's divine plan that we have received the miracles in our life that we have today. And you know, we ought to be thankful for the miracles God's given to us. Amen? We ought to be so thankful. You say, but it's just a small thing. Yeah, it's a small thing to you and I today, but think if the outcome had been different. Oh, we'd be crying and begging God if the outcome was any different than what it has been in the past. In fact, today, what we ought to be doing is saying, God, I know I don't deserve another miracle in my life. I believe this today. I don't deserve another miracle. I don't deserve another blessing or another showing of grace or mercy in my life. But on this Sunday morning, I'm going to thank you that you've watched over me. You have blessed me. You have given me miracle after miracle. And in fact, just last week, Becky Sister Willardine could have, the outcome could have been so much different because the car broke down upon them at a traffic light. If it had broke down on interstate, they could have been rear-ended. They could have been hit and killed. And because we hear these stories all the time, do we not? People say, that was just by chance or luck. I say, it was God that watched over them and protected them today. You see, God has a purpose for every miracle. Every miracle. Every time he's performed a miracle in your life, it was for a reason. One of the reasons that God performs miracles in our life is to increase our faith. I want you to look back at some of the miracles that you know about and look how it increased your faith. I have more faith in God today than I've ever had in my lifetime. And you say, man, you must have been pretty weak in your faith. But you know what? When we see miracles performed, it increases our faith. What he has done for others, he'll do for us. When I hear of God blessing these that were non-believers, if he'll do that for a non-believer, just think what he'll do for a believer, Charlie. He'll increase your faith. Also, it will increase the faith of others. I hear Jim and Jim Puckett and some of these others men, and then Sister Janetta and others here that are have been overcome with cancer, and God spoke to them with a miracle, and you know what it does for me? It increases my faith and says, if God will do that for them, he'll also do it for me because I'm also one of his children. Amen. How many of you as parents, what you do for one child, you'll do it for another. Amen. Well, God's the same. And he'll do it for you and he'll do it for me. So it increases my faith. Even though he may have performed a miracle in your life. Or he did it in my life, and it'll increase your faith. You see how God uses these to work in our lives? And many of you, as I look over the audience and the circumstances that you've been in your life, I see times when you had fear and doubt. I see times when you didn't know if God was going to touch or not. But you're sitting here today, and some of you have your children with you here today. That is proof God performed the miracle in your life. And he's performed it in their life. And he's going to perform it in the grandchildren's life as well. People say, you just believe God can do it all. And I say, amen, amen, amen. Others that the reason why God does a miracle, a purpose for it, is it's a witness. This man that had nothing to lose stood with those of the synagogue, in the synagogue, when they questioned him about the miracle that he had received in his life, they said, "It's not of God." He said, "Whether this man be a sinner or not, I know not, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see." What a powerful testimony. How many of us, with the miracles God has done for us, can stand up and say, the world may doubt it. The church may even doubt it. But I was there when it happened. And I thank God I know, Ray, it was Jesus that performed the miracle I needed in my life. He also performs miracles in our life that we might work for him. That we might work for him. Because if he performs a miracle for us in a little thing, it ought to give us a desire to work for him that will also receive the miracles in the big things in our life. You say, you only work because you want a miracle from God? No, I could work until I die and never thank him enough for what he has already done for me. But I hear Paul to say, we are not saved by our works, but we are saved unto good works. The greatest of all miracles was when God saved our dying souls. And what a witness that is. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. How many of you today on a Sunday morning can testify that God performed the greatest of all miracles when he saved your dying soul and made you a fit subject for his kingdom? It also shows that when God performs a miracle for us, that there is nothing too big for God. Now, I'm going out on faith here this morning. I don't know what the outcome of your husband is going to be. I don't know what the outcome of that little child that's going out to California for surgery, or her dad that's having surgery here. I don't know the outcome of my wife that is at home today. Or do I know the outcome of Kenny and Della or any of these others that I look here at my list, Wayne and Checky and Sister Ruby or Sister Ruby. I don't know the outcome of all of these. But I have faith in God that there is nothing impossible with him. While we are here this morning, church, God could speak the word of healing to these that need healed today. I have seen, and we've got family members here today, that when the doctor said, you better call in the family because time is very short. I have seen God speak a word of healing. In fact, I went and saw Brother Harvey because I got word that his hours were very short. I went and saw him over there in the ICU. And very shortly after that, I got word that they moved him to a rehab center. And then the next thing you know, he's back at home with his family. You tell me that wasn't a miracle from God? I know it was a miracle from God. Amen? I don't know if he will. But hallelujah, I know that he can. I know that he can. He can do all things. There's nothing that he cannot do in heaven and earth if his people will call upon him and pray and pray and pray. God can perform that miracle that you need today. How many of you know where your miracles come from? You see, this is very touchy ground that I'm going in this morning. See, you got to know where your miracles come from. Because the devil sometimes does work in your life to try to lead you astray. While God is performing miracles, the devil's trying to pull you in his direction. We have to realize that the Bible teaches us anything that is good is from God. Anything that is bad It bound to come from hell and the devil himself. So you have to measure it out and make sure. Look at it, what's being offered, and say, is this of God or is this of the devil? And it's of the devil, you better stay away from it. Because it's not a miracle, it's a deceiving movement of the devil to try to pull you in his direction. God will never do anything that's not good. It's impossible for him to do anything that is not good. This man received the greatest miracle in his life up to that time in verse 1 when he was there. And then down in verse 6 of this 9th chapter, when the Lord has spoken and he made clay of spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went his way. Oh, have you ever thought about this? How did a man that was blind make his way down to the pool? Oh, people say, Emerson, that he must have stumbled along the way. I don't know if he stumbled or not, but I believe it was the Spirit of God that led him right down to the path where he needed to go to make it down to the pool of Siloam. And when he got there, he put the water upon his eyes and washed, and he came seeing. What a miracle today. What a miracle. You see, God will never tell you to do something that he won't make a way for it to happen in your life. Amen? He's a miracle-making God. Miracle. And even though this man received this miracle from God, he still did not believe or know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Again, I go back to the first part of the message. How many of us again know that we received miracles even while we was lost and undone? How many of you know God watched over you when the devil tried to destroy you? How many of us know today that sometimes we got messed up with the wrong things, but yet the Lord of hosts spoke a word of protection round about us to keep us from being destroyed like others around us were? You see, we all grew up in different generations. But there's not a generation present here today that the devil has not tried to destroy. And folks, I say he's doing a good job of it today. Look at these generations. Look what he has done. And some folks might say there's no hope for the future generations. I say as long as I believe in my miracle maker, I keep praying, I keep trusting in God. The same miracles he afforded to me, he'll pass it on to the future generations as well. Yes, we're living in a different time, and we're living in a different country than what we was raised up in. But God is still on the throne. He is still in control. And he is still, you know, I'm trying to find a hushing place, deacons, but God wants to perform miracles for you. He wants to perform miracles for your family so that you could be a testimony to others. When the world says there was no hope, God spoke a word and made a way. I want to get a witness, as Robin Sharon, get a song of invitation this Sunday morning. How many of you can raise your hand or just say amen that you look in your life and you know who it was? You know who the miracle maker was in your life. Can you say amen on a Sunday morning? And if there's any more miracles happens in your life, how many of you know who's going to make it happen? He is my miracle maker. He is your miracle maker. Every one of us today ought to praise him for all the many, many miracles that he's performed in our lives. And you know, as a believer, I know he is not done yet. One day, he's going to promote me. He's going to promote me, Sister Joan, and take me out of this world and let me see those things that I've read about, we've taught about, and we've preached about. But you know, when we get there, there'll be no more need for a miracle. Everybody will be whole. Everybody will be smiling. Everybody will have no worries or fears about tomorrow, because there is no tomorrow. Does not the scripture say it'll be a day that will start and never come to an end? And won't it be wonderful there with our loved ones who's outstripped us and gone on? Some of our miracles is around the throne waiting for us. Amen. Some of our greatest blessings in life, God saw fit to take them on home to be with Him. And they're waiting. Years ago, we sing a song that said, "I'll be waiting at the river for you." We've got family waiting there. We've got friends that are waiting there. We've got, just think about all the churches that we and people we know. People that's outstripped us and gone on, they're waiting for us. You say, "Are y'all going to have a big revival when you get there?" No. No sin can enter in at the door. But we'll be praising Him for the greatest miracle that He gave to any of us, and that's when He saved our soul. Amen? Do you know your miracle maker? Do you know who He is? Do you believe upon Him? You know, that's what Jesus asked him. Do you believe on Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God? And the man answered, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" See, he had received this miracle. But God wasn't done with him yet. God had more to offer him. And I'm trying to close. "But while I was in my Father's house, until I come to the age of accountability, I believe God performed many miracles in my behalf. And after I come to know Him, He still performed miracles." But you know what? We was too naive, too unlearned, to understand it was God that did all that through all of our life. Until one day, we come to the realization. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? And we realized it just wasn't by coincidence. It wasn't just by luck. But I hear that song of old say, "It bound to be the Lord that did all these things for me in my life." How many of you know it was Him that did it in your life? And I say in my closing remarks, Lord, I still need Your miracle working in my life. She needs it. She needs it. She needs it. In fact, how many of you know you need God to make those miracles happen in your life? Sister Joan needs it today, LaBrae. Sister Annetta needs it. We all need it. Elise needs it today. And I never say her name right, but y'all know who I'm talking about. As I look over here, Debbie, you need it, and Charlene, you need it, and Sharon, you need it. In fact, there's not a one of us that don't need it today. We need God to perform miracles for us, because unless God moves, there's no hope for us. No hope. But don't let the devil tell you there's no hope, because we still know an almighty God that can perform that miracle. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, today, if you need a miracle, I know we're living in COVID times, but this altar is open. I know you can pray there in your pew, but church, can I just be candid with you? I find that there is no place like going to an altar, like where we first met Him, and call upon Him for the miracle that we need in our life. Some of you as mom and dads, your family needs a miracle. Some of you, as Sister Kathy testified, your job needs a miracle. Your home needs a miracle. Maybe somebody here today that hasn't shared or requested prayer for yourself, but you know that you need a touch of God upon your life. I feel led by this message this morning just to make it that whatever it is, maybe you don't know Him. You know He's given you miracle after miracle, but you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll do something for you today that you'll never get over. Charlie, if I had cancer and God healed me, I'd still die someday. But the miracle of salvation goes beyond the grave. Hallelujah. It goes with us all the way across Chile, Jordan, into that home that was prepared just for us. Today, there's folks that need to pray. Some need to thank Him, and some need to request another miracle while they sing. Would you follow your heart today? Will it make a difference if I go and pray? Yes. Because you'll step out by faith, believing in God, trusting in Him for the miracle that you need today. Come on, mom and dad, young man or woman. Come on and talk with God about that miracle you need. Bless that mother. Anybody else? I feel the presence of the Lord. Bless that mother. Somebody else that needs to step out to thank Him or to request a miracle, or maybe just to ask Him to save your soul. Follow your heart today. God is talking to you. Not Roger. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. And you need to follow Him. Yes. Oh, Lamb of God. Yes. In the message today, I mentioned Stephanie and Becky and also Trenton. And I know it was God that put it on my heart, and I'll tell you why. Half the time, I can't remember my own children's name. But those, I believe God gave me the inspiration to mention, to show. We've all had our low times. How many of you have been at places in your life where you felt like the world had just collapsed on top of you? But then we look back and see how God removed the rubble and allowed us to stand up. Hallelujah. To stand up on our own two feet. Still broken, but God was still working on us, as the potter does the clay, to put us back together. And you know, I don't believe He's done yet, because there's still a lot of work to be done. Amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? I hope that you take this message with you and realize today that God can do all things in your life. And since we invite you to come back and be with us anytime you can. And I want you to know there's a church on the corner of Fayard and 32 that is praying on your behalf. And as Tara requested prayer for that little child, we're praying for her. AC's daddy down there in the hospital. We're praying for him. But we're also praying for all these other things that you may not have even mentioned this morning. It's just between you and God. But you know what? You got a church that loves you and is praying for you. And I believe you're praying for us as well. And as we pray one for another, Ron Ball, wouldn't it be something if we could just lock arms and walk into the Eastern Gate as a church together? And you say, why'd you say the Eastern Gate? I don't know. That's the one that's most mentioned in songs, I guess. We could go in either one of the four gates that's there. It don't matter. Because they're open all the time for God's people to just walk in. God bless you. Be safe out there. Again, I want to thank you. Thank you as a church for your desire to come out and be in the house of the Lord on a day when it is not best with all this freezing sleet. And Becky and I get into a big conversation at times, philosophically speaking. Is it sleet or freezing rain? I say sleet is freezing rain. She says no. Sleet comes down as sleet. Freezing rain is when it rains and it freezes before it hits the ground. I say, well, if it freezes, then that makes the rain sleet. Right? I don't know. Y'all's not going to agree with me on a Sunday morning. That's all right. I love you anyway. You know, that's what I love about our church. We can disagree and still love each other. God bless you. Have a great week. What's that? Okay, you think about it. God bless each and every one of you today.